Okay, so there's a lot of great drummers out there, but there's not a lot of great drummers that have the ability to play the way you do and to teach the way you do. How do you think you developed
Okay.
that instinct to teach or that need to teach?
When I started, playing, actually taking lessons back in the day, my teacher used to get $5 or $10 an hour, and he often told me, he said, "Look, you could do some teaching yourself. You can make some extra money, and you might enjoy it." So I said, "Oh, that's a good idea." So I did. I actually had a couple of guys in the neighborhood that wanted to take some drum lessons. So, instead of $10 an hour or whatever it was, I charged them $5 an hour. And I started teaching, and I enjoyed it. And then, I went along like that until after we made it with Vanilla Fudge. And then I really didn't have time to do that no more. So what I basically did was, I didn't do any teaching or anything until like my days with Cactus, and then that was like 1971, 70, 71. I started writing my drum book, and then Ludwig Drum Company said, "You should do some clinics to support the book." So up until then, I never wanted to do a clinic, And then I started doing it. And then I opened up a school in 1972, just in my house. I had a room in my house that I could teach in. And then it went well. And then I opened up a little storefront. I put a little studio in there. That did well as well. And then I bought another house in Cold Spring Harbor, Long Island. And then I moved the house I was in Oceanside. I turned the whole thing into a studio. And at that point, I had guys flying in from all over the country, to take lessons. They would stay for a week and they'd be jammed, sort of like a camp, And there's only one at a time, So I've been doing it all my life, really, And but this, the camp isn't really a teaching camp, this camp.
You've gotten some of the most influential people of rock over the last, 25, 30 years to play a part in this. Can you just talk about how this is necessarily different from the other stuff that you've done over the years?
Well, pretty much, the way this actually happened was, I started working with a new manager, and his name is Eric Gardner, and we had a meeting about stuff we could do together, and he asked me if I wanted to do a camp, and I said, "Well, I was planning to do a drum camp later on in the year with my brother, but, I would be interested in doing the camp." So in talking to him, he said, he also represents Todd Rundgren, and Todd had done some camps up there. So I thought, well, if you just do a drum camp, you're limiting it to drummers, So I thought it might be fun just to do a fan camp, like a rock and a metal fan camp, where people come there to hang out. I mean, we'll entertain them, with the people that I have up there and myself, but we'll just do stuff together and hang out, Because it's almost like a payback to the fans, too, for following me all these years, And, we've got a place to do it up in the Catskill Mountains in New York. It's gorgeous up there in the summertime, And so he put it together with this Full Moon Resort. So apparently that's what they do. They do other camps. They have Tweezil Zapper and Paul Gilbert. There's another drummer doing a drum camp up there. So that's how it happened. And then there was, I said, "Well, you got to get some guy who you want to be your counselor." And apparently, luckily, that was about the time just before the NAMM show, that we started getting the okay to do it. So I said, "Well, I'll talk to my friends at the NAMM show, see who's available." Some
Absolutely.
guys I wanted to use weren't available, but the guys that we do have were available and they were interested in doing it and committed to doing it. So, and they're all really nice guys, they're not egomaniac kind of rock stars,
Yeah.
Especially the guitarists like Eric Bloom and Michelangelo Badio. He's got three names. I don't know which one to call him. He he's the nicest guy. And he's really well known around the world. I mean, he's really a virtuoso. He's a tremendous player. And I've done a lot of stuff with him to Dean guitars and D drums. So, because most guitar players are weird, kind of saying.
Is that from your experience that most guitarists are weird?
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Especially if they're English. They're really weird. A lot weirder than the American ones. But they're all weird. Now, Mike Bloomfield's got strange things about him. Jeff Beck, John Sykes. I mean, I love them all, but they're just weird. They're a little hard to deal with, you know?
I got you.
Matt Travis was a cool guy, you know? Ted Nugent was a cool guy. They're mostly the English ones.
I've interviewed Pat Travers before. He's a really nice guy. He's pretty down to earth.
Yeah, Pat's been a great guy. I worked with him in 2004 to probably 2007. We did two albums and a live album and a couple of tours. And it was a lot of fun.
In addition to the music, you know, there's going to be, you know, gourmet food, lodging. So you guys are going to be comfortable. You're going to be telling stories. I was wondering if you would be able to tell us about how you co-wrote the music for Don't You Think I'm Sexy. How did that all come about?
Well, basically, you know, Rob was always the kind of guy that he would look at the charts and go, you know, Stones have a number one record called Missing You, you know, or Miss You, you know. I keep getting the John Waite song and stuff with that one, you know.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, Miss You, you know.
Yeah, Missing You, yeah.
Yeah, so he's a, I just thought like that. And then the band would come back and people would present him with different ideas. And luckily, I was lucky that I presented him with Do You Think I'm Sexy, was my idea of it. And he liked it, and then we put it together. So pretty much that's how it always was with him, you know. But he wasn't like a greedy, hard kind of guy. You know, you wrote a song with him, he split it with you, you know, 50-50. Wasn't like, okay, it's my song, so I'll give you the song right, and you keep, you know, I'll take the publishing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always good. Same thing with Young Turks, you know. We were trying to get something modern. You know, that sounded, you know, modern. And we had this drum machine song that me and Dwayne Hitchings had. And it was actually, a drum machine was put on the record. And I just did hi-hats and cymbal clashes. Because drum machines, even today, the cymbals don't sound good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to, you know, always be on top of the, on top of the pop heap of listening to other people and trying to, you know, come up with something new and modern, you know. And now, you know, he's not doing that now anymore because, you know, he's doing his Frank Sinatra stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because I was at the dentist a month ago and somebody said, oh, I heard you play with Rod Stewart. I said, yeah. He said, play that old kind of music? I said, what old kind of music? You know, like that Frank Sinatra stuff? I said, no. And then Rod Stewart used to be a killer rocker. He's a rock star. Matter of fact, I have a show we're putting together. It's called When Rod Was God. It has the original band that we had in those days. Four or five of the original members. And we're going around, going to play all the hits that we wrote and, you know, we sold 50 million records with Rod, and we never got to play the songs anymore that we recorded with him, we wrote with him, and we promoted. We, you know, we did all these gigs all around the world for 7 years with Rod, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we never had the ability to play the song because they were always his songs. So now, we thought it'd be a really cool idea to put a show together and then put a young Rod Stewart lookalike kind of guy in the front and do the kind of show we used to do in those days. Because everybody in the band still looks good and everyone still plays with energy. You know? Unfortunately, Rod's had some problems with his voice and, you know, that he doesn't sing like that anymore. You know? And I think that's probably why, my opinion, why he's doing the stuff he's doing now.
You just made a great reference to the fact that, you know, you guys are all still young. You still look great, you know. what do you think has kept you so young over the years?
A little hair dye. I think for me, I was never really a drinker or a coke addict, you know. But I think that stuff really ages you a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Keith Richards, you know. Mm-hmm. He looks like he died 10 times, but he's still going. You know, he did a lot of drugs, you know. And I think, you know, to me it's partly because I'm Italian, you know. Italian has this, like, olive oil in their skin. I mean, I see the difference in my skin. You know, I can see that I'm getting old. But, you know, I try to just keep the image so it looks good. And, you know, I mean, if I let my hair out, you know, it'd probably be all gray at this point, you know. But, you know, it wouldn't fit my image that I've built up over the years. So, same with Rod Stewart. I mean, he don't let his hair go gray, you know. He's older than me. You know, I just looked at Jeff Beck had a picture of a magazine in Europe, and he's got some blue in his hair. I go, oh, welcome to the club. I've been doing this red in my hair and purple since 1980, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. You know, people, you know, they say, wow, I love your hair. I go, yeah, it's all natural. You know?
Yeah.
But it's fun, you know. I mean, it's fun keeping the image going and keeping it. You know, and obviously, I'm feeling some of the years of playing. I just had a surgery on my shoulder, a rotator cuff surgery on my right shoulder. 2 years ago, I did my left shoulder. So, and I can't play till April. You know, I'm doing the therapy and all that. You know, that comes from years and years of the same repetitive motion of hitting my China cymbals way up high.
Yeah.
So now I'm telling people when I talk to the drummers, bring your cymbals down. This is the worst operation recovery of any operation. It's even worse than like heart surgery, you know, when you get bypasses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, but you know, I just try and keep looking good. I go to the gym. I work out. You know, I try to stay fit. And being a drummer, you have to do that because you know it's a very physical thing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was never a beer drinker or a liquor, and, you know. I mean, I'd have a couple of margaritas once every couple of weeks, you know.
Yeah.
I'll go out for a drink, you know. But, you know, I'm not like, I come home and give me a beer, give me 10 beers tonight, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just not into it, you know. Never was, never liked the taste of beer. I don't get it. So I think that's part of it, you know.
Okay, considering all the people that you've played with over the years, is there anyone that's out now, like a current artist that you would love to play with?
Not really. No. It's really, what's going on now is just repetition of everything we've seen before. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Beyonce. I think she's a great singer, but I can't see myself playing that kind of stuff, you know, because everything is exactly the same every night, you know.
Yeah.
My kind of era, my kind of playing is not playing the same thing every night and playing everything, you know, it becomes like an experiment. And it's like, you know, jam band. I've been in jam bands all mm-hmm. my career, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And every night's different because you're not playing exactly the same. That's what makes it fun. Otherwise, man, how boring would that be? You have to play the same thing over and over, note for note, for many years, you know? No, so not really, you know?
Okay. How do you guys plan to keep your, you know, the people that are coming to the fan camp entertained over the days that it consists of? I mean, you guys are going to be talking about old times and playing music, but what else are you guys going to be doing?
Well, I mean, it's going to be... Yeah, I do this rock history like speaking thing. So I'm gonna do one of those. They take them through rock history and show what innovations happened at the time when I was starting out with Vanilla Fudge, and you know, and then talk about Jimi Hendrix and all that stuff. Plus, I'm gonna get people involved in banging on some trash cans and buckets and stuff like that. You know, because I have a show called Slam, which is a stomp on steroids kind of thing, you know.
Nice.
But so I find a lot of people have fun doing that, you know. Then like if Michelangelo Badio comes out, he's gonna wow them with his double neck guitars, you know. Then at night we'll jam. We can get people, if they play, if they want to come and jam with us, we can work on that. And whoever comes up, you know, we'll be telling there in the afternoon, telling their stories. And then we can do events together, you know, pool, volleyball, and, you know, whatever else they have to offer. I'm actually going to go up to the camp site in May when it gets warm, just to look around to get a better idea on, you know, kind of stuff that we're going to do, you know, because I know we're going to have this crazy cook-off. I mean, I can't really cook. But if you go online and see this cooking with Carmine, it's funny. You know?
Absolutely.
So I think we'll get whoever wants to join the cook-off to have a full kitchen outside and see whoever can make the best one of those meals that I made on the video, you know? And then the camp counselors will judge it. Or maybe we'll get a couple of camp counselors, a couple of campers be the judge. And then, you know, we'll give them a little prize, you know? Maybe I'll get a couple of Carmine salt and pepper shakers from Big Fur Company as a prize. You know, just make it fun.
Absolutely. I know this is a difficult question to answer, but, like, I'll give you a hypothetical as far as after the fan camp is finished, one of the campers, one of the people that went, how do you think you'd want them to feel? Like, what do you think, what would you want them to get out of the whole experience?
Well, I would just want them to get that these are, you know, what is it, four or five guys that have been rock stars all their life and that are cool to hang out with and they had a great time and, you know, let's do it again because it was well, you know, the good thing about this camp is even if you paid the full highest ticket, which is a couple of grand, you're getting four nights of hotel and food for free. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So really, you know, so I'm approaching it like, you know, on my Facebook and stuff, you know, come spend your vacation with us. I mean, if you're going to go out, let's say you and your wife and you go on a vacation, you know, so here you get to spend, you know, there's all these different price ranges, you know. You could spend $2,000 or $3,000 and come here and spend four nights and have all your hotels and everything paid for, you know, depending on what level you get in on. And you get to hang out with, you know, guys you've been listening to and, you know, listen to the war stories, get autographs, take pictures. And, you know, I mean, it's a good time, you know. It's a good time and it's well-priced, you know. It's not like a rip-off, you know.